In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. I am the door, Christ said. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. He also said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Brothers and sisters, how is it that we can know Jesus Christ if not by prayer? How else can we enter that door? And as Orthodox, we would be quick to say, well, by the sacraments. And certainly there is no argument there. Christ has given us the church as a gift and the sacraments as means of communion with him. But what is it to receive the sacraments if we have no prayer? If we have no prayer. For an infant or child with no sins, it's not an issue. Communion is a preparation for young souls. But an adult, called to an adult relationship, just as it does on the human plane, involves communication. Our adult relationship with God involves not only communion, but communication. Contact, dialogue, conversation, connection, and I and thou interaction, as someone has said. So we are called to prayer. If the Eucharist is an opening of our soul to God, a door to grace, then prayer takes us further past the door, where we shall go in and out and find pasture, where we enter in and are further nourished, adding fuel to the spark of communion. The activity of prayer may be a challenge, but one would not think of it as controversial. But it was for St. Gregory Palamas, whom we remember today in the second week of Lent. It was actually controversial also this week in the news that the Birmingham police chief, people complained that he prays too much, that the atheists were mad at him for praying too much, but that's another story. St. Gregory, in Philadelphia, most of the police chiefs were indicted at some point, which probably led to prayer for them also, but in any event, St. Gregory Palamas in the 14th century taught the way of hesychasm, the way of stillness, of a physical stillness and a concentrated method of praying the Jesus prayer, repeating the prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, with great concentration. And that through that long-term practice of this prayer with stillness, incorporated with the life of the church and the sacraments, that one could reach levels of divine illumination and behold the very presence of God in the uncreated light of divinity. That one could experience a powerful communion with God that is direct and personal and transforming. St. Gregory's critics of a Western Latin mindset rejected this belief and practice and dismissed it as navel-gazing. This is because the practice of hesychasm, of stillness, involves sitting still and bowing the head, resting it on the chin, on one's chest, and seeking God inwardly. And those who opposed St. Gregory and the hesychastic method mocked them and said that the hesychasts were seeking their soul and their navel, that God cannot be known so directly by a method of prayer. St. Gregory's teaching was defended and confirmed by local church councils in Greece, and you can read about his life in today's bulletin. But brothers and sisters, St. Gregory's call to stillness, to hesychia in prayer, may still be controversial. Controversial with us. Stillness is not something we do. Americans have trouble keeping still. The teachers of prayer, whether it's St. Gregory or Father Thomas Hopko in our own time, say that we need time each day to stop and be still. That's hard for us. That's hard for us. To be still and not say much to God, not give long speeches, but to rest in God's presence. This sitting doesn't sit well with us. When we pray, we tend to want to pray actively about our activities and ask God to help us with this and with that and to get on with our day. Our primary stillness is to collapse exhausted in bed at night. At the same time, Americans are very religious people, all the studies show. But it's an active devotion based in action, driven by actions and active movements and ministries. One has to show one's faith by doing. And even the faith alone based groups are very active. There's a suspicion, a sort of American born suspicion of the contemplative life, very much like the critics of St. Gregory. We say, show me your faith by your works. Don't just sit there, do something. Be still and know that I am God, answers the Holy Scriptures. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. But we remain skeptical. Perhaps this is one reason there are so few monks and nuns in the West. Not many people interested in pursuing the path of true prayer. The fathers said, a theologian is one who truly prays, and one who truly prays is a theologian. The method of the Jesus prayer and of hesychasm implies a practice and a determination and a journey, which sounds a bit too Eastern for us, a bit too mystical for our tastes. And all around us are often quite vocal people who tell us they know Jesus. They know Jesus, and you can know Jesus too. And there's really nothing to it. You just have to ask him and boom. He's right there. That it's real easy to connect with God. However, if it's so easy, why did Christ say, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you? And looking at the biblical Greek of the language there, it's seek and knock are expressed as verbs of continuous action, as in keep seeking and ye shall find, keep knocking and the door shall be opened to you. A certain persistence is required if we look at it in that light. St. Theophan the Recluse said, prayer is the raising of the mind and heart to God. St. Ignatius Brancheninov, also writing in the 19th century, said, prayer is the mother of all virtues. In 1 Corinthians, we read, brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In other words, we should be like children in our purity of soul, lacking malice. But we should be mature, not like children, in our understanding of what's required of us in the spiritual life. St. Ignatius also said, holy, great, and soul-saving is the labor of prayer. Holy, great, and soul-saving. And prayer is a labor. Prayer is a work, something that you're called to work at, according to the fathers. St. Macarius the Great, writing from the Egyptian desert, said, the crown of every good endeavor and the highest of achievements is diligence in prayer. Again, St. Ignatius says, you who wish to take up the labor of prayer, before you set about this labor, strive to forgive everyone who has grieved, slandered, or humiliated you, and everyone who has caused you any evil at all. But before we go to pray, we have to lay aside all our hurts and our offenses and be ready to forgive. As Christ said, before you bring your gift to the altar, go and be reconciled to your brother, then bring your gift. So there's a proper attitude brothers and sisters in approaching God. And as St. Ignatius says, there's a mode of thinking and an attunement of the heart that are pleasing to God. And this right attitude of mind and heart was shared, he says, by all the righteous ones of the Old and New Testaments, those who drew near to God and pleased him. Brothers and sisters, all the fathers teach that there is great reward, great satisfaction, fulfillment, and even pleasure to be had in genuine prayer. If only we would believe it. If only we would want it. If only we would try and just to be still, even for a few minutes, to find the time to be still and know God and be in God's presence. Finally, St. John of Kronstadt said, prayer is a golden link connecting the Christian, who is the wanderer, the stranger upon earth, with the spiritual world of which we are a member, and above all, connecting us with God, the source of life. He says, the soul came forth from God, and to God may it ever ascend through prayer. Through prayer. Through the prayers of our Holy Father Gregory and of all the Holy Fathers and teachers of prayer, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.